Oh man. What's up, y'all? And this is going to be a stop and start episode, just stating the obvious, because I'm working on the pile on the floor, which has actually gone down pretty significantly because I just sat here and went through and threw away a bunch of shit. A bunch of stuff in the pile was to-do list and assorted things that I just decided I don't want to spend time on. But we're going to kick this one off. This is not from the pile on the floor. But I have to take this book back. Well, I don't have to, actually. But I'm going to take this book back to the library today. Scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, blah, blah, blah. I suppose I shouldn't talk over the introduction music, right? Shove your opinion up your ass. The way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. What is it? The options, you're wrong and I'm right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Applause, whatever. I am the great one himself. I founded the Cynical Libertarian Society. We're on the internet, CYNLIBSOC.com. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. It hones in on and destroys stupid fucking statists. Of course, if you launch a cruise missile anywhere on the planet Earth, whatever goes up must come down. And wherever the cruise missile would come down, most likely it's going to hit a statist, being as statists comprise 99% of the population. So, it would actually be more difficult to not hit a statist with a cruise missile than it would be to hit a statist with a cruise missile, because little fuckers are everywhere. They're like a lice infestation among fourth graders. Anyway, this is a series in the pile on the floor series of Stating the Obvious. If you're just jumping in, you don't know what I'm talking about. Here in the recording studio, there is this giant pile of magazines, books, newspapers, pieces of paper on the floor, which is basically, it's a pile. When I run across something, it's like, ooh, I want to talk about that on the podcast, and then I would throw it into the pile. Well, the pile got to the point where it was in danger of taking over the entire fucking room. And normally, for recording an episode of Stating the Obvious, the lovely and adorable Randy would be here with me, but she's not here because in the pile on the floor, what I do is I stop the recording, which I normally don't ever do. I go through the pile till I find something I'm actually wanting to talk about, and I talk about it, then I pause the recording, and then I throw it in the trash, and I kind of keep on moving, trying to get the pile off the fucking floor so that I can talk about other things, because I have a shit ton. I've got about a 40-page computer document filled with notes about things I want to talk about, and I want to get to those sometime before I fucking die. So anyhow, we're making some progress, not to mention, of course, all the things I email to myself about, hey, you should talk about this on Stating the Obvious, and I never get around to it. So anyhow, that's what's going on with this episode, just pulling together some loose ends, taking care of some stuff. Anyway, back to the point. There's a point. The point is, I want to read to you from this book that I'm going to take back to the library today. This book is written by Dave Barry. And if you don't know who Dave Barry is, then I feel sorry for you. You need to find out immediately. It's oh my God. Whew. And by the way, if you're here to hear me ranting about statism or about femistatist, well, you're in the wrong space, at least. Well, later on I'll talk about statism and femistatist. But right now, this book is called You Can Date Boys When You're 40. The subtitle is Dave Barry on Parenting and Other Topics He Knows Very Little About. Dave Barry is fucking hilarious. For those of you who don't know who Dave Barry is, he's a fucking humor writer. This book is absolutely fucking devastatingly funny. I had forgotten how funny Dave Barry is. The least funny part of the book was the final chapter where he talks about a visit he took to Israel with his wife and his daughter. Apparently his wife is Jewish. And it's not that it wasn't funny, it's just that he was attempting to tell a coherent story about the time they spend in Israel and make it funny at the same time. And so, of course, trying to tell a coherent story and be funny at the same time, the fact that you're trying to tell a coherent story limits some of your options for humor. I mean, it's still very interesting and insightful and funny, just not as funny as the rest of the book. And we've all heard, you know, the expression about the book made me laugh out loud, whatever. Well, anyway, this is hilarious. I just want to jump in. I want to read some of this. Why? Because I can, and because it's really fucking funny, and because I want you to go read this book. Okay? Because remember, fellow anarcho-capitalist, we cannot sit around every fucking moment of our life whining about statism. We have to... That was me adjusting the microphone. We have to enjoy life, because one day we're going to be dead, right? So, pull... Okay, you're going to go down Remington. I love when I can hear people out the window talking. I close the windows, but I can't... It drives me crazy to be in a closed-up environment. At the place where I live, I like never close the windows. It'll be snowing outside, and I have the fucking windows open. That's not a joke. I don't like being in a closed room. Ugh. All right. Instead of babbling, let me just read some of this book to you. You Can Date Boys When You're 40 by Dave Barry. He's talking about Viagra commercials. And I'm just jumping into this in the middle where it gets even funnier than the beginning. Here we go. So he's talking about Viagra commercials coming on TV and how he doesn't want to watch a Viagra commercial. And he writes, and yet they do. There are boners up all over what is theoretically family viewing time. It is Bonorama. This is grotesquely inappropriate. It also creates a deeply troubling picture of the physical state of the modern American male. You watch an evening of TV, and by the 15th erectile dysfunctional ad, you're thinking, can't anybody in this nation get it up? Inevitably, if you're an older guy, you start to wonder, could this happen to me? You especially wonder this because the guys in the Viagra commercials are always more masculine than you are. For example, there's one Viagra commercial which I have seen dozens of times, in which a rugged aging cowboy is driving a manly pickup truck towards a horse trailer on a rural road, and he gets stuck in the mud out there in the middle of nowhere. Is he daunted? No, he is not. The announcer says, quote, you've reached the age where you don't back down from a challenge, unquote. For the record, this statement is 100% pure bullshit. It is the opposite of true. The older you get, the more likely you are to back down from a challenge. If you want scientific proof of this, go to YouTube and search for any variation of the phrase, quote, shoot bottle rocket from ass, unquote. And this will turn up many videos of people attempting to shoot bottle rockets from their asses. It goes without saying. It goes without saying that all of these people are males. But more to the point, they are all young males. I have no doubt they were all responding to challenges from their friends. quote, "I dare you to shoot a bottle rocket out of your ass," unquote, their friend said. And, being young males, and therefore less intelligent than a bowl of grits, they responded to the challenge. And then they went to the ER to be treated for, among other things, scrotal burns. Here is my challenge to you. Find an older man, any older man, and challenge him to shoot a bottle rocket out of his ass. I guarantee you he will not hesitate. He will immediately back down. Learning when to back down from challenges is one of the main reasons he got to be an older man as opposed to dead. His current idea of an acceptable challenge is trying to stay up until 10:30 p.m. And for the record, if an older man has trouble getting a boner, he will not view that as a challenge any more than he will view a tapeworm or hemorrhoids as a challenge. He will view it as a medical problem. But getting back to the cowboy in the Viagra commercial, he gets out of his stuck pickup, opens the doors to his horse trailer. The announcer says, "This is the age of knowing how to make things happen. So why would you let something like erectile dysfunction get in the way?" And then, by gum, the cowboy doesn't let it get in his way. In the very next scene, there are two horses hitched to the front of the pickup, and the cowboy, thanks to the miracle of Viagra, is having sex with both of them. No, that does not happen. At least not during the commercial. Of course, we don't know what happens later when the camera is off. We cannot say for certain how the cowboy expresses his gratitude to the horses for towing his truck. We do know that it gets lonely out there. But my point is, if you're an older man watching TV, you're going to be bombarded with commercials suggesting there is a nationwide epidemic of noodle dick. You inevitably start to wonder, could this condition affect me? You also wonder about all the other medical conditions. There seem to be thousands featured in TV commercials for prescription drugs whose names sound like characters in The Lord of the Rings. Alright, anyway. Whew, I could read more, but I'm just going to stop there. He also has a great chapter in here where he gives tips on writing. He explains nouns and verbs and adjectives and all those other sorts of useful things, which is not as funny reading it out loud because you have to see the visuals that go with it in order to really get it. But I'm telling you, the book is fucking hilarious. I do want to read this little part. Here he's talking about prepositions. A very important rule. You must never, ever end a sentence with a preposition. Why? Because Hitler ended sentences with prepositions, that's why. So if it appears that your sentence is about to end with one, you need to change it. So the wrong way is to say this. Where is that odor coming from? The right way is this. Where is that odor coming from? God damn it. The wrong way is this. Australia is known as the land down under. The right way is this. Australia is known as the land down undereth. The wrong way is, what's up? The right way is, what up, home dog? The wrong way is, come on over. The right way is, come on over, goddammit. Anyway, Dave Barry, any of his books are fucking hilarious. But you can date boys when you're 40. Fucking funny. It must be funny, otherwise we wouldn't have taken time to talk about it on this podcast. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to stop the recording, and actually, I'm going to be back to finish this. Who knows when, because I actually need to eat food, and then go to the library, and I have to go drink beer. And then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to finish up this episode of Stating the Obvious with this giant pile of shit that's come off of my floor. So next time you hear my voice, I will be, not drunk, but I'll have had 2, maybe 3 glasses of Guinness, and I'll be fairly happy. It was, and here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins today, it was nice weather this morning. Nice and overcast. I actually went out running. I was trail running at noon, and it was not hot. Unlike, what was it, yesterday? Oh, it was yesterday. Yesterday was fucking hideous. Global warming was coming to visit us. All right, anyway, blah, stopping, and I will talk to you people in what for me is going to be about 4 hours from now. What for you is just, you're mere seconds away. Seconds away from the next piece of incredible wisdom or bullshit that spews from my mouth. Howdy. I'm back, and I'm not drunk yet because I haven't left yet. As I was throwing the Dave Barry book in the pile to go back to the library, I saw another book in there that I wanted to talk briefly about. Ann Coulter's new book, what is it, Never Trust a Liberal Over 3 or something like that. This is the second time that I have attempted to read an Ann Coulter book. And for those of you who are saying, why would you read an Ann Coulter book? For the same reason I read a Bill O'Reilly book or an Al Franken book or a Michael Moore book. Because unlike those of you who are brainwashed idiots who need somebody like Obama or Rush Limbaugh to tell you what to think, yeah, I read books that I expect I'm going to disagree with, especially since, as an anarcho-capitalist, I disagree with most everything that's ever been written on paper. I read books that I expect I might disagree with because, first of all, you don't know if you're going to disagree with what's in a book until you've actually read it. There's no way to know what a book is about in detail until you read the fucking thing. But also because I like to expose myself to the thinking of people who have different worldviews than I am, so as to stimulate my thinking and my logic to learn to counteract their arguments and to strengthen my own arguments. And on the very, very increasingly rare occasions when I find out there's something I don't know which actually alters my worldview, to alter my worldview so that it becomes correct. So that's why I would read a book by Ann Coulter. And the other one I tried to read was, what was it called? It had a great title, How to Talk to a Liberal If You Must, which I think is one of the best book titles ever in the history of books. Ann Coulter is, to me, just, she's unreadable. She is just un-fucking readable. And one time I remember Stefan Molyneux saying that he respects Ann Coulter and he thinks she's a great thinker. And I don't know what Stefan was smoking that day. But, I mean, even, like, what time is it? Oh, it's way past time. Shit. One of these days I need to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Because I have not listened to Rush Limbaugh's show in a long time. And even Rush Limbaugh, who is essentially a spokesman for the Republican Party, will occasionally call the Republicans on their bullshit. Or like the guy on YouTube I talk about fairly often, E.T. Williams, the Doctor of Common Sense. He's a Republican, but he's the first person, too, to call the Republicans on their bullshit. He was always making fun of Chris Christie, Mr. Buffet, and calling him a homosexual and all this other stuff. So there are some people who are superficially conservative Republicans, but will call the Republicans on their bullshit. Ann Coulter, I mean, this woman is still, this book, she's still got shit in here defending the war in Iraq. Honey, there were no weapons of mass destruction. I mean, this woman is just, I'm just flipping through the book randomly and picking up reading in the middle, because that's how I evaluate a book, to see if I want to sit down and read the whole thing. And the whole thing, it's just this fucking slobber fest as she's on her knees, just like sucking the cock of anybody who remotely passes as a Republican. And the Christianity shit, you know, just this outright attitude of, yes, any Muslim who doesn't want to convert to Christianity, we should kill them. I mean, fucking hell, woman. You are an example of everything that, you know, and Ann Coulter is proof that you can be a feminist, and this is another topic that I'm working on developing. Because in the past, I've always said you have to be a left-wing statist in order to be a feminist. I'm revising that as more evidence comes in. I mean, Ann Coulter is a fucking right-wing feminist. She displays all the inability to think that feminists have, but instead of skewing all of her stupidity towards socialism and collectivism, she slings all of her stupidity towards, well, there's this invisible man in the sky, and you need to worship him and pray to him, and if you don't believe in him, there's something wrong with you, and you need to convert, or we should come over there and kill you. It's just the rabid... You know, and I can read stuff by people I disagree with. I have. Again, it's virtually every book about politics or political related is about shit I disagree with. So I talked a long time ago. I read the... Not a long time ago, like not back in the days we had to walk uphill to get books and stuff. But I talked about the Bill O'Reilly book I read about Obama, which I picked it up expecting it to be O'Reilly ripping Obama a new asshole. And the book was a good 50% O'Reilly praising Obama, which shocked the shit out of me. But the point is, I read the entire book cover to cover because while I disagreed with most of the shit he was saying, he was presenting coherent thoughts that you could respond to. And Coulter's books, it's just, and they're basically just collections of her op-ed columns, so she's recycling old material. It's just, and remember, this is coming from me. I come on this podcast and I just rant and scream out fuck you and bitch and cunts and tell people to shoot themselves in the face. And I mean the woman, there's no fucking coherent, logical thought process in this woman's writing that you can respond to. It's like she's got, her writing is done by those manatees that write Family Guy, right? The South Park reference, those of you who don't watch South Park have no idea what I'm talking. She just takes random words and throws them together and then sticks in Republican and Democrat now and then and God, and it's just like, the fuck are you talking? It's just, it's incoherent. It's in, fuck, you know what? Hold on. All right, I'm back. Hold on. I have the book in my hand with the photoshopped and airbrushed photo of Ann Coulter on the front. Trust me, her skin is not that smooth in real life. I'm going to randomly open to a page. Oh, and there's a whole chapter in here where she talks about science. Ann Coulter, a woman who believes there's an invisible man who lives in the sky. And the invisible man created humans. There's a whole chapter where Ann Coulter tries to tell us about science. Okay, here we go. Random page. Muslims. Random page, a little bit of Muslim hatred. I love it. I love it when religious people attack other religions. Look, if you're religious, there's only two religions that are so far wacky that you get to, there's only two other ideologies that, as compared to your religious beliefs, are so wacky that you get to attack them. Scientology and atheism. Other than that, you know, I fucking hate it when religious people make fun of Mormons. Those Mormons, their religion is so stupid. Oh. Oh, but your religion is so fucking intelligent. Yes, you see, your religion, your invisible man in the sky, makes total fucking logical sense. But oh, those Mormons, their invisible man in the sky, he's really wacky. We're gonna make fun of them. If you are religious, that's it. Scientology and atheist are the only other ideologies, religious, I guess atheism is a non-religious ideology. Those are the only other ones you get to make fun of. Christians making fun of Muslims, you fucking morons worship the same fucking God. How fucking stupid are you? You're Ann Coulter stupid. That's how stupid you are. I mean, all right, here we go. Muslims, we do that on first dates. This is from April 29th, 2009. Shit's falling on the floor. Like I said, recycling old stuff. Without any pretense of an argument, which liberals are neurologically incapable of. Oh, a liberal joke. Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, the mainstream media are now asserting that our wussy interrogation techniques at Guantanamo constitute torture and have irreparably harmed America's image abroad. Only the second of those claims is true. President Obama's release of the Department of Justice interrogation memos undoubtedly hurt America's image abroad, as we are snickered at in capitals around the world where they know what real torture is. The Arabs surely view these memos as a pack of lies. What about the pills Americans have to What about the pills Americans have to turn us gay? So that's the first two paragraphs. She's saying America has been humiliated because we are not sufficiently, by we I mean the government, not sufficiently torturing people. And of course, most of the people in Guantanamo Bay probably haven't done anything. They're just there because they had brown skin and they're put there by the government, which is of course a totalitarian dictatorship, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then there's this joke, what about the pills that Americans have to turn us gay? I mean, so a gay joke? I mean, what does that have to do? Again, I rip on the fucking homosexual, the LGBT, MYM, XYZ, Z, slash, plural. I'm sex positive, transgendered, fey. I fucking rip on these people all the fucking time because they want my fucking money and they want to force me to accept them with their laws. But I mean, it's just this meaningless gay joke in something about torture. I mean, what? It's in fucking coherent. I mean, I get it's coherent in the sense that she hates Muslims. I get that. She thinks that more Muslims should be in Guantanamo Bay and they should be tortured more intensely. I mean, I get that. She's a fucking sick, sociopathic bitch. I just had to read. I'm not going to do any more because I'm hungry. I don't know. Should I keep? Maybe I should keep this book and make fun of it some more. It's just, you know what? Honest to God, Ann Coulter is just, she's not worth it because the entire book is just her, and it's just. All right. Anyway, I'm just going to shut up and go eat food. But if you can stomach your way through an Ann Coulter book, you're a bigger man than I am. Okay, I'm back one more time and still not drunk. While I was eating, I am currently watching a DVD series I got from the library called Journey of the Universe, which is moderately interesting. They started off talking about the formation of stars and the universe, all this other stuff. Now it's progressing through life, yada, yada, yada. And it's done by some kind of left-wing organization, although it's in association with some kind of religious organization. But anyhow, now remember, I just talked about Ann Coulter, science. I ripped on her for making an unnecessary gay joke, even though I make fun of homosexuals when I think it's appropriate. Keep all that in mind because I'm about to do it. So this movie, parts of it, I'm not going to explain everything. Some of it's interviews, some of it's like a movie where there's this guy trying to be Carl Sagan, trying to be like Cosmos. And so he's talking, and he's like this, and he's so gay. Oh my God, it's just, he's so gay. And I don't mean homosexual. I mean gay. He's just so left-wing gay. And he's talking about how are we going to explain the wonders of the earth to our children. And I'm thinking, well, we're not going to do it in public school because public school is a fucking failure. As I will talk about, the thing that's on the very top of the pile that I'm going to talk about when I continue this podcast is about how children are becoming less and less creative. Okay, so we're not going to explain anything to them about the earth via public school because public school is a fucking failure. We're not going to explain anything to their parents because most of the kids these days don't have fathers, thanks to single mothers, and their mothers are fucking worthless. As I've said before, every rapist had a mother. Every sociopath had a mother. Every politician had a mother. Every mass shooter had a mother. Every kid who walked into a school and shot up his schoolmates had a mother. So women are obviously completely fucking incompetent when it comes to raising children. So God, I don't know, how are we going to explain this to our children? But wait, that's not the important part. Because here we're going to contrast the left-wing version of science with the right-wing version of science. So the really gay guy, he says, oh God, somebody's gonna fucking whine about how cisgendered I am. I don't care. The gay guy says something along the lines of, how do he segue into this? Oh, I know. So, all this time, we thought the conditions here on Earth being conducive to life were just accidental. That should be your cue. Whenever somebody says, well, we used to think that conditions on Earth for supporting life were accidental, that should be that's a warning. Okay, when right-wing people say that the conditions on Earth are not accidental for supporting life, God made it this way. That's the right-wing version of conditions on Earth capable of supporting life are not accidental. Is God made it. Now, here's the left-wing version of conditions on Earth being capable of supporting life are not accidental. This is why when atheists make fun of religious people, I'm like, you do realize you're a statheist. You do realize that your fucking belief system is just as stupid as theirs, because here's what you believe. He goes on to say, he says, the Earth used to be warmer when the sun was hotter, but the earth drew the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere so that the earth could cool off. And what if the earth is maintaining conditions on earth so that they will what if the earth is maintaining conditions on earth so that life can continue to exist here? Yes, because you see, the left-wing version of science isn't that God created Earth to support life. No, the left-wing version of science is that the Earth regulates itself so that the conditions here are perfect for life. Because you see, the Earth is a living creature. The fucking wackoism. The fucking wackoism. Now, is the Earth an ecosystem which is balanced and has checks and balances and things interact and things are intertwined? Yes, of course. But the idea that the Earth, and is the Earth self-regulating? Well, it is in a sense. I mean, there's a system and there are things where one thing goes up, another thing goes down, things shift over here, things shift over there. It's self-regulating, obviously, to anybody who's not stupid. That's why this podcast is called Stating the Obvious. Within a band, right? The Earth, we don't wake up one morning and it's 200 degrees and then a week later it's -100, right? The climate of the Earth and the things happening on the Earth are regulating of themselves, self-regulating, within a particular climate, right? Antarctica isn't a well, I was going to say Antarctica isn't a desert. Actually, technically it is a desert because there's not a lot of rainfall because it's Antarctica. There's no fucking rain. Okay, but Antarctica doesn't fluctuate between being a sheet of ice covered with the sheet of ice and covered with the tropical forest. Of course, the fucking Earth, it is a system, a dynamic system, which regulates itself. But the idea that the Earth is specifically regulating conditions so that life can live here, right? They haven't outright came out and said yet that the Earth is a conscious being, but they're hinting at it really strongly. And it's going to crop up somewhere in all of this. The gay, he's going to say, what if the Earth is actually a sentient being? And to know that we're not just living on the Earth, but we're living with the Earth. You know, of course, the left-wing state is, well, you're in favor of pollution. No, I'm just not in favor of stupidity. Let us recognize the dynamic climate and the planet Earth and the climatic cycles and the geological and the plate tectonics and all this stuff. Let us recognize these things for the amazing, for lack of a better word, miracles that they are and how fortunate we are that they happened. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Yada, yada, yada. But the idea that the Earth is consciously doing this so that we can live here is just as fucking stupid as the idea that God made conditions this way for people. Fuck! Howdy, I'm back. It's 7:30. I only had two glasses of Guinness, so I'm not exactly drunk. If you were expecting high entertainment, it's not going to happen. Sorry about that. Speaking of entertainment, so I get back, I'm checking the email, and local movie theater sends out mailing, blah, blah, blah. I watched a trailer for a movie that's playing there, which is called Snowpiercer. Dystopian science fiction, which I generally like. I like dystopian stuff. I've talked about this before, and here I'm going to talk about it again. It's like I'm a broken record. I just repeat myself over and over and over. The plot of this movie, which I got from reading the description and watching the trailer, so it's in the near future, and of course, global warming. And there's some kind of global warming experiment that goes wrong. And the planet is covered in ice and snow. Snowpiercer, name of the movie. Everybody left alive on the planet Earth, wait for it, is on a train. Train, T-R-A-I-N. Choo-choo, a train. Now, don't ask me who's maintaining the tracks, because the train is moving. The entire planet Earth, covered in ice and snow, except, of course, where the train tracks are. The train tracks that are somehow or another being maintained well enough for a train to run on them. So the train is running. Now you say, but great one, wouldn't the train run out of fuel? No, no, no. It's a nuclear-powered train. No, just kidding, because you see, nuclear power is evil. No, no. The train engine is run by a perpetual motion engine. So the train will never stop. And of course, the people on the train worship the engine. It's referred to as the perpetual engine. Now, of course, like all modern dystopian movies, ultimately what this movie is about, of course, the evil, you know what's coming next, the evil rich people. Because you see, the rich people live a life of luxury. On this train, they're at the front of the train, closest to the sacred engine. There's this one shot of all these women sitting in the beauty parlor with their heads, you know, with the hair dryers down over their head. Yeah. So all the rich people live at the front of the train, and it's beautiful and clean and well lit, and they all have perfect hair, and they all have makeup. Don't ask me where they get the makeup from. Maybe they stop at a depot along the way. Maybe there's still some Walmarts out there near the train tracks. I don't know. Because think about it. Before the global warming experiment disaster happens, if you built a train that had a perpetual motion engine on it, you would obviously stock it with makeup and hair dryers in a beauty salon, right? I mean, that's really fucking obvious. Now, of course, the poor people, they live at the tail of the train. And, of course, where they live, it's dirty, although where the dirt came from, I don't know, because all the dirt on the planet Earth is buried underneath snow and ice. And it's dark, because apparently, well, there's a plethora of light bulbs at the head of the train. Apparently there are no light bulbs to be spared at the tail of the train. Everybody in the back wears black, of course. And of course, and I don't know where everybody's getting food from either. Of course, the poor people at the tail of the train are going to revolt against the rich people at the head of the train, and by golly, they're going to go up to the head of the train and they're going to take control of the sacred engine. Oh, you fucking stupid people. It just never stops amazing me. It's like I talked about multiple times with the TV series Spartacus, which, for anybody just coming in, Spartacus is so brilliant. God, I love that series. Spartacus. The fourth season, the final season, was not, in my opinion, quite as good as the rest. But then again, I mean, the first season of Spartacus, and then the second season, which actually took place before the first season, which they called 1.5. I still don't know why they didn't call it zero. What the fuck ever. The first two seasons of Spartacus just set the bar so high that there was no way they could keep that level. You stupid people just love watching television and movies where the poor people rise up against their rich oppressors. And yet, in reality, when the rich people say, take off your clothes in the airport and let us strip search you, you do it. When the rich people say, oh, you need to get a license to get married, you do it. When the rich people say, well, yeah, you can have marijuana in Colorado now, but only this much, and you got to buy it here, and you got to pay taxes, and you got to use cash, you just do it. When the rich people say, well, we're going to kill some people in foreign countries with flying robots, you just roll over and play dead. When the rich people, and by rich people, if you think the rich people means government, if you think the people who run the, if you think like Obama and Nancy Pelosi, if you think they're poor, you're fucking stupider than shit. Okay? They are rich, and the people who control them, the people who run the corporations, are rich. The rich people tell you where you can live, where you can drive, what kind of technology you can own. They listen to your conversations. They monitor your email. They watch you with cameras. And you just fucking, you have not the balls to do anything about it other than just justify it I mean, try it sometime. Ask some fucker in the GLBTXMYPTYZMNQ community why homosexuals should have to get permission from the government to get a license to get married. Ask them, explain to you, if homosexuals own their own bodies and if they're free, why can't they get married without permission from the government? And listen to them fucking fall over themselves to justify why people need permission from the rich people in the government to get married. And yet they'll go watch movies like this and be like, yeah, they really showed those nasty rich people. And then they come out and they go buy another fucking iPod. iPad, whatever. iPods, do iPods even made anymore? I haven't heard of new iPods coming out because, of course, everybody has a cell phone out and they play their fucking music where I can hear it without using headphones and makes me want to fucking kill them. So, but they come out of the movie where the poor people overthrow the evil rich people and they go buy another fucking Apple device which is made by slave labor in China. And you're just fucking clueless. You're just fucking clueless. You're stupider than shit. You are stupider than a fucking box of rocks. And that's why these movies are so popular right now. Because the poor, stupid people want to live in this fantasy of overthrowing the rich overlord masters. But of course, you don't want to get off your ass and actually fucking do it. Because you like being a slave. You like knowing that, or thinking rather, that the government is going to protect you and provide for you from cradle to grave. You can't provide for yourself. You don't want to provide for yourself. You want to be a slave. But at the same time, you want to be a slave that creates this facade of celebrating freedom. Enough of that. Let's roll into the first thing, because I promised you this. Talking earlier, I promised you that I was going to talk about the decline of intelligence in the younger generations. This is from some magazine. Oh, this is from This Week. This is from, holy shit, September 16th, 2011. This has been laying on the floor in the recording studio for almost 3 years. Welcome to my world. Okay, the decline of thinking outside the box. While IQ scores are indisputably on the rise, American creativity levels are bottoming out. Analysis of the results of the Torrance Test of Creative Thinking suggests that the creative abilities of American children have been spiraling downward for almost 20 years. Torrance Test analyzed young children's ability to come up with original ideas and put them into practice. Kwing Hee Kim, I probably mutilated his name, K-Y-U-N-G is his first name, H-E-E is the middle, and then Kim, K-I-M. Even I can pronounce Kim. And, an assistant professor at the College of William and Mary School of Education found that scores on the Torrance test taken by children up to sixth grade between 1968 and 2008 showed a steady decline after 1990. Yes, because the 80s were so terrible because everybody was greedy and Ronald Reagan was president. That's a serious issue at a time when creative thinking is among the most desperately needed skills in the American workplace. Right up there with the ability to ask people, would you like fries with that? A recent study found that 85% of employers concerned with hiring creative people say they can't find the right applicants. Kim blamed America's standards-obsessed schools for creating an environment in which creative thinking was not nurtured. Quote, creative students cannot breathe. They are suffocated in school. Then they became underachievers, she said. And, duh, I mean, how many times have I ranted about public school, treating kids like herd animals, shuffling them from one place to another. I've said it before, I'll say it again now, I'll say it again lots of times in the future. Public school, remember, was created to teach people how to work in factories. Public school is not there to make people smarter. It sure as hell not there to make them creative. In fact, creativity, of course, creativity is stifled. Hey, the 1990s. What also started happening in 1990s? The very, very, very tip of the iceberg is when we started medicating kids for having personalities. Now, in the year 2014, if you're a kid in school and you have any level of creativity, it's just going to terrify the people around you. The teachers are going to be absolutely flabbergasted and terrified that you have creativity, that you have a personality. They're not going to know how to deal with that. So they're going to tell your parents, you have ADHD and we've got to get your son on medication right away because he's causing a disturbance in the classroom. He can't focus on my really fucking boring teaching skills where I'm teaching him some shit that I can't articulate the value of it and I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about half the time. But he's not sitting there like a mindless little zombie the way the other kids in the classroom are. Of course, creativity is going down in children. Of course it is. Look at the way the children are fucking treated. I'm going to do a little more research on this Torrance test of creative thinking thingy and see what other data can be gleaned from that. There's not really enough time to talk about anything else. I just throw out a few random things. I went to the library today and picked up some stuff. Among the things I picked up, I got Slan by A.E. Van Vogt. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. V-O-G-T. Anyway, it's supposed to be a super duper amazing classic sci-fi story. So it'll be interesting to read that. I was also disappointed at the library that there's a girl there who I thought was kind of cute, and goddamn if she didn't cut her fucking hair off all super short. What the hell is wrong with you girls cutting your fucking hair off? I know it's hot outside. Shut up and suck it up. And I also got Outer Limits. I got season one of the remake of Outer Limits, but I also got the first disc of season one of the original Outer Limits. And I thought I was getting, this is why I got multiple things from the library, I thought I was getting the original Outer Limits season one complete, and it was the remake. So, I'll try watching it, see how it is. Anyway, there it is. This is me, left to my own devices. There'll be some more coming. And the pile is getting smaller. This is going to end. Once this is over with, we're going to cruise into me making fun of the medicated generation. I've got a whole stack of op-ed pieces from CSU students that just illustrate why these kids that are not as creative as before and just dumber than shit. I got a whole stack here of op-ed columns written by these fucking idiot children that just illustrates how incredible, beyond, I mean, it has no credibility at all. I gotta stop using the word incredibly incorrectly. I have a bunch of stuff here that illustrates how fucking stupid these kids are.